Dan, and we've got our friend Howard Schwartz with us this morning, who's with us once a month. And you know, these furnaces, now I don't know what's going on, but I read an article recently where there's more problems with furnaces this year than there has been in a long, long time.
Well, and also furnace scams. Howard, what should we know about this?
Well, first you should know, good morning, gentlemen. It is very cold out there.
And we need a furnace.
Your traffic report's 100%. What we're talking about furnaces, I think one of the first thing is that we're putting these machines sit idle for months and months and months. And then we put tremendous pressure on them. And when we have periods like this, well, that's where the rubber hits the road. And we find out what the weaknesses are. And I can give you from a personal experience that I found, for example, 2 years ago, my furnace was blowing air out, but probably only heated about 50-60%. And I'd been told I needed a new furnace anyways, eventually. So I asked a technician to come in from the company that I bought my fuel from. And he came in, and I hear a vacuum cleaner going, assuming he's cleaning the thing out. And I come downstairs, and he's wiping his hands, and he says, well, you need a new furnace. And I said, why? He said, you got three cracks in your heat exchanger.
Whoa.
So he wrote on a piece of paper, which he left at home, that said, unit unfit for use, turned off, and left off. Now, when you see something like that written on a piece of paper, if someone wrote it, it's got to be true. The same as the old days, if it's in print, you've got to believe it. Well, obviously I was going to call the second person in, and when I did, he took a few measurements here and there, and he says, I'm not going to denigrate someone else's work, but you don't need a new furnace. He says, it'll last you another 5 years. It won't be 100% efficiency. But he said, I should change my furnace when it gets to the point that either the house won't be warmed up significantly enough or sufficiently, or when it gets too expensive to repair from year to year. And what he did was he put a measurement, a little device to see if the air was flowing out the chimney when it was supposed to and staying where it was when it was supposed to. He did all these tests, a carbon monoxide detector. And he said, there's nothing wrong here. He says, speak to me, and, next year we'll do the maintenance. And by the way, when's the last time you had this cleaned? I said, well, the fellow was in cleaning it a month ago. And he opened it up, and not only had he not cleaned it, he says the guy just turned on the vacuum cleaner, left it running, was probably texting, never changed the oil filter, and even worse, I found an oily rag inside the furnace that the previous guy left behind. So the moral of this story really is get a second opinion. And just because, I'm not suggesting if someone says your system is dangerous to laugh at it. If you have any doubt in your mind, if they say get your family out of the house, call the fire department right away, for goodness sake. But, the second fellow who came in asked me if I was getting headaches or sneezing, itching eyes, those types of things. I said, well, I get headaches when somebody comes to my house, tells me I've got to spend $6,000 on a furnace and there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
So I did get it fixed this year, bit the bullet, and got a new furnace. But had I not called in someone else, had I not known better, I would have been in a situation where I would have laid out money that I did not need at that time. And it's also a wake-up call that if someone's doing, I'm not suggesting you look over their shoulder the whole time, but go down and see that the work is being done and have them explain, all right, well, we're changing your filter, and now what are you vacuuming out? And have them explain these things to you. If you're not familiar with them, and always check them, please, with Better Business Bureau first to see what other consumers' experiences have been.
You're seeing a lot of ads on the road now.
Right.
I mean, big billboards about furnaces.
Yeah, we get ours cleaned every year, but Howard, we had somebody in our family with a similar story to yours. It just happened on Sunday when the furnace conked out. And he called the company that provides the service, and a new repairman came and said, well, don't you get this cleaned every year? And he said, yeah, we get it cleaned every year. Well, he said, whoever did it, and it was from the same company, didn't do this, didn't do that, didn't do this. So sometimes these people aren't doing the job that they're supposed to be doing. And I don't want to disparage them, but, Howard, I know what you're talking about because we know somebody who experienced that this weekend.
Well, disparagement. It's a question of letting people know, and I don't think that unless we tell people about these types of things, that they would think about it. We are living, we're trying to change the marketplace into somewhere where we can trust each other, buyers and sellers. And there will always be someone who's not on the level. And in a case like this, you were lucky to find out what the last guy didn't do, although it can be dangerous for the family, aside from expensive, if they mess up your furnace.
What about these scams, these home scams? Why do they seem to be peaking this time of year?
Oh, the good old work-at-home scams. Because at this time of year, consumers are often looking to supplement their income to help pay off huge bills from over the holidays or other debt. And criminals know that one of the ways we try and raise extra cash is work-at-home opportunities. And there are legitimate work-at-home opportunities. But the real opportunities require experience. They do not make any sort of outlandish claims about the potential earning power. And they never ask for money in advance. Now, let's just go through the usual ones we hear about. Medical billing, envelope stuffing. You get paid a dollar for every envelope you stuff. The mystery shopper scam. Craft assembly and repackaging and reshipping. Now, one of the clues that you're dealing with something that's probably a work-at-home scam, as opposed to an actual opportunity, is that they promise high monetary return, no experience necessary, and minimal work. And although some consumers say they made some money on work-at-home jobs, most complain that the promise of returns of thousands of dollars never materialized. But more than that, the criminals are looking for money and any personal information they can obtain during your recruitment. And in addition, the candidates usually required to pay up front for training, materials, and other fees. And that's just not the way it works. So a lot of these work, for example, let's take medical billing. That's not the type of thing that would be farmed out to an individual who's got no background whatsoever. This is big business and is done by or outsourced to large companies that are competent. Again, I find it difficult. If someone's willing to pay me a buck per envelope to stuff it, that's a great opportunity. Unfortunately, not realistic. The mystery shopper scam is similar to the others in that they're looking for money up front, but they will give you your first paycheck through the overpayment scam. So they'll send you a check, looks authentic, might be for $8,000, and they'll say, if you could just wire us back $3,000, we made a mistake. It's a heck of a mistake. The bank will accept the check at first. You send the money by wire transfer, which the work-at-home people want sent back to them. And then what happens is that check will be flagged as being counterfeit. So you'll be out that money plus any sort of charges imposed by the bank for NSF, for not having sufficient funds. So let's try and keep in mind, don't pay for a job. And the federal, the FBI, in fact, says beware of any offers that promise easy money for minimal effort. So contact Better Business Bureau. Check us out to see if the company even exists. Be suspicious of that a demand for upfront money. Don't provide any personal information when you're interacting with a prospective employer. And ask lots of questions. Legitimate companies will be happy to give you answers for that. And by the way, Better Business Bureau's website and the Federal Trade Commission website has great resources, because there are some legitimate work-at-home opportunities. But the ones I just mentioned, envelope stuffing, and one more I wanted to touch briefly upon, gentlemen, is repackaging and reshipping. What happens is the criminals will send you a bunch of packages that are labeled, and they'll say, all we want you to do is put a new shipping label on it and send it to this country. Chances are there's contraband inside that box. That's why they don't want to send it. And you can end up being party to a criminal activity and be on the hook for selling, for transferring illegal goods to another country.
Wow.
So be very careful.
Howard, always great to have you with us once a month. And this furnace story, though, I'm glad that you brought this up this morning, because it seems this year I've heard more about furnaces going on the blink than I have in a long, long time. And it's cold right now, and it's going to be cold off and on throughout the winter. There's no doubt about it. We're going to get a little more warmth in the next day or so, but the cold weather will be here. Thanks a million for being with us, and have yourself a wonderful, wonderful new year, Howard. We'll talk to you again.
My pleasure. The same to you, too, gentlemen. Bye-bye now.
Okay, you bet.